Golden.
Classic hits.
Queen.
Bob Seger.
96.7 WBVI.
7:35 in the morning on this Wednesday, August the 25th. And we are pleased to have with us on the other end of our line a gentleman that many of you may know, Brian Edler. Brian and his wife and his family own a number of Domino's Pizza franchises across Northwest Ohio.
Brian is actually also in Rotary with me in Findlay.
Yeah, and Brian's son, Cody, who also works with him in the business, has been involved for many, many years, and his wife had gotten sick. And I talked to Brian yesterday if Brian would come on and tell the story, because this is a story, as we've been saying, the end has not been written yet, and so many things have happened day in, day out, and many people, Brian, are following you on Facebook. Can you bring us, I guess, start from the beginning and how this all happened?
Well, to be forthcoming, I'm going to talk about a couple medical things, but I am not a doctor. I'm just giving a perception of a father that has been in way too many medical facilities this year. But Cody tested positive for COVID on July 10th, was not vaccinated, had planned on getting vaccinated before vacation. Something happened, didn't, was going after, never made it. So when I got home, tested positive. A couple of days later, he's in the hospital, and kind of hasn't left since then. They took really good care of him in Findlay. A few days after he was in there, he was intubated. It was determined he needed to have ECMO, which is a heart-lung bypass machine to give his lungs the best chance of healing, which, you know, those machines are few and far between. And he got sent to OSU Medical, Hart Ross Hospital. He's been on the ECMO machine for well over a month now, and they've been trying the last few weeks to get him qualified to be on a lung transplant list, which at this point seems like his best chance for recovery. He actually made the list, the transplant list, yesterday. He does have a blood type that isn't super rare, which should help him. His antibody testing that they do ahead of time was a score of 10, which means 90% of the people that would qualify would donate a lung with his blood type would work with him. And then you have to worry about size factor. He's 6'3", so you kind of need a big set of lungs for a big chest. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, he's been, you know, intubated on a tracheostomy and on this machine for a long time. You know, he's taken, I don't even know how many drugs a day and IVs he has in him at a time, somewhere between 7 and 10. And a lot of other drugs on top of that. A lot of the time he's been knocked out, you know, to avoid the pain and, you know, not knowing where you are, et cetera. They kind of bring him out a little bit a couple times a day, move your toes, wiggle your fingers, things like that. You know, he was even paralyzed totally for well over a week trying to let him heal. It kind of just didn't happen, you know. He went from, you know, being really healthy, not having any other underlying health conditions, other than being a little, you know, a little overweight like so many people are, and, you know, to needing a lung transplant about a week and a half.
So he tested positive for COVID and within 3 or 4 days needed some kind of apparatus, ventilator, or the ECMO to help him.
It didn't happen quite that fast, okay. But, you know, within 2 weeks he was at OSU. And, I mean, he's in the best possible place to get, I mean, the guys down here are wizards on wizards on wizards, and, you know, the nurses are the best of the best, the doctors, everybody around here is just, you know, pretty amazing at how good they are. You know, and vaccine is not perfect, you know, none of them are. There's three, one's FDA approved, you know, but they've all been shown to diminish, you know, the disease, and a lot of people get minor cases. As of last week, we had 3 breakthrough cases in our county that were hospitalized, and 1 from each of the vaccines, so it was kind of an even split. I don't know what those numbers are currently, but, you know, the health department posts things like that from time to time.
And to be clear, he was not, or his wife was not, an anti-vaxxer at all. They just did not take the time to go, correct?
They, not really. I mean, you know, their family planning stage, and, you know, you wonder about how's it going to affect the kid, et cetera, et cetera. Did a little bit of research. It's going to do it. Life just got busy, got in the way, and I will do it at this point when we get back from vacation, and kind of didn't happen. I mean, it's both of his grandparents had COVID earlier in the year. You know, his brother had it around Thanksgiving. Pretty much everybody else had been vaccinated, and, you know, they weren't anti-vaxxer, you know, type people.
Were all of the relatives who had COVID fine afterwards? The cases were very minimal. How did they react to the COVID, and what was Cody's thinking on that?
Well, his brother has some other things going on, and he got COVID, and we were worried about him more than anything because of XYZ. His ended up being a pretty mild case. You know, he felt bad for a day, really bad for another day, you know, bad for another day, then kind of felt better. You know, that being the case, they're thinking, well, you know, maybe COVID isn't so bad. And then both my parents got COVID in January. And my father, you know, he's 79 now, has heart issues, stroke, pacemaker. And you're thinking, you know, this isn't good that he has COVID. He got the antibodies, kind of got over it. My mom had it. She had some other issues, got over it. But about a month later, went in the hospital, and ultimately she never came out after that. But not exactly COVID-related. I just think it was one of the straws that were one too many for her with what was going on at the time.
And his wife, Cody's wife, got it too, but again, not as bad, correct?
She never had to be admitted to the hospital. I mean, she went there and got meds at one point, but she never had it as bad at all.
Before Cody went on the bypass machine or the ventilator to help him breathe, what was he saying to you?
What was he saying?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't saying much. His mom ended up being the one to take him to the hospital because Julie was so sick. When he had to go back finally, she'd already tested positive for COVID. And, you know, Jenny said, I'll take a two-week isolation, and I'm vaccinated, and he's got to go, and he's got to go now. And she just took him. You know, they were masked up in the car, and she asked him if he wished he would have got the shot just before he went into the hospital. He said, yeah. Pretty much that's his last words to his mother was, I wish I would have got the shot.
And is he, are you able to converse with him throughout the day or periodically?
For the last few days, not so much. They're trying to keep him out. He's been in and out of a fever. I mean, he probably would have been on the transplant list a little sooner, but he went from COVID pneumonia to staph pneumonia to strep pneumonia to they weren't quite sure what. He was actually proceeding, and they took him off the ECMO and spiked the fever as soon as he got off the ECMO. When was that? Maybe 3 weeks ago. And, you know, the ECMO takes blood out of your body, takes out carbon dioxide, adds oxygen, puts it back in. So there's a chance it cools your body off a little bit. I mean, they have all these sensors to check temps, but, you know, probably it was masking a fever of some sort of infection that showed itself when they took him off.
They moved the tubes from his legs for the ECMO, correct, up to his neck? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's where they are now. That's where they were when they took him out the first time. But within a couple days of them removing him, he was kind of struggling, and they, emergency more or less, put them back in his legs bedside, which is not the ideal plan. But he's been on ECMO ever since. They did move him from his legs to his neck again. then that just gives you the ability to actually sit up and bend and move. When they're in your legs, you just have to lay flat.
How is this affecting your family, your work? I mean, give people a kind of a perspective of mm-hmm. of how this has affected all of you.
Well, Cody was, you know, director of operations and helping me run all the stores, and did a lot in that regard. His wife was working in the office, and I did what I did, and, you know, we kind of more or less lost three of us there really quickly for a little bit. And we had a lot of people in the company step up and do extra things, and, you know, luckily we had some pretty good systems in place and realized really quickly we needed a couple more. Jenny's been in Columbus ever since Cody's been here, except for maybe 24 hours at Finley one day for something. You know, we're staying in different places down here. Went from one Airbnb, which wasn't exactly great, to we're in a pretty good Airbnb now. And if he gets a transplant, he's going to have to be in Columbus within 30 minutes of the hospital for another 60 to 120 days just to be close for all the doctor visits, et cetera.
Are you able to actually get in and see him and sit with him and be with him?
They're limiting it to 2 per day with COVID protocols. So usually Julie and Jenny go, and then every 3 or 4 days I will go instead of my wife, Jennifer. But it's kind of limited 2 per day.
So
and then
now,
it's hit or miss is it when they're waking him up or when they're not waking him up. 5 or 6 days ago, he was eyes open, kind of awake, communicating with his wife. He knows sign language a little bit because his father-in-law has been, you know, deaf forever. So he was signing a little bit with his wife for a few moments, and, which is good. You know, he's got some other way to communicate when he can, you know.
From the discussion that we had yesterday on the phone, you had said that that the lung transplant is really his only option at this point. That are you saying that his lungs will not be able to repair themselves?
Currently, that seems to be the case, unfortunately.
Wow.
Brian, what do the doctors say about his chances for a lung transplant?
Usually, you know, I guess hearts and livers are in much, much higher demand, and, you know, they kind of come as a set. They don't need as many lungs. Usually they're a lot easier to get, and the timetables are less. They do go up to 1,500 miles, so that's a pretty wide radius circle around us. But they said it's, you know, they said it could be a week. It could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We're hoping for shorter. You know, the big thing is you don't realize how giving the people are that decide they want to be a donor. But, you know, the unfortunate truth is somebody has to come to an end for Cody to have a new beginning. And, you know, we don't know who this person could be, maybe, but, you know, we're thankful ahead of time.
Is there,
for sure. And
is there anything that all of us in this area can do for you and the family?
You know, the sad part is how political the whole vaccine thing has become to me. And I don't want to be political, but there are people out there that can't get vaccinated because of medical reasons or whatever. There's also a whole lot of people that were waiting on FDA approval, or they're sitting on the edge, or they're just busy. You know, they're young. They don't think things can happen. You know, we went to the family transplant training, which is required to get on the transplant list, with a 29-year-old set of, you know, they had a 29-year-old in there and a 32-year-old. So this is hitting a lot of people a lot younger. And it's coming really fast now and really hard. The treatment plans that they've developed over the last year and a half kind of aren't working as well. One, because this one's so fast, and two, because a lot of those people were much older with other issues going on. Everybody's case is a little different, but, you know, if you know some people on the fence, tell them Cody's story, because maybe it'll help get a couple more people vaccinated. That's the hope.
Well, I know the story that we've been following. Dawn and I have talked, and it has opened up the conversation for a number of people. And that's what my hope is, and I think your hope was, and all of our hopes, is that at least people can hear firsthand as to what's going on and what can happen. Because Cody was a very was a big guy, and he was, I mean, he was very, very healthy, other than being a big guy.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
All right,
and
Brian.
Young, and you know, you just never know. I mean, it's it hits different people different ways, and again, the vaccine isn't perfect, but man, it sure does diminish some of these things that can happen to people.
All right, my friend. We will stay in contact, and please feel free at any time. If you feel there's something that you want to pass on to people, we would love to pass it on.
Well, thanks so much for letting me call in, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Brian. Our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brian. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Brian Edler. Brian is a resident of Hancock County, and is going through something that we hope none of you ever have to go through.
It gives a new perspective on COVID, and I know so many people who have got the shot, who are for the shot, who completely believe in the shot, and then I know the extreme opposite side, that they think the shot is because the government and control and things like that, and it just talk about it.
Yeah, in the end, it's your choice is what it is, and so... Okay, we have 7:51 in the morning. We will put that conversation on our podcast. We want you to share it with friends to just hear Brian's story. And I keep forgetting
Cody's story.
Yeah, Brian's story, Cody's story, and Jennifer, his mother, and Julie, Cody's wife. Mm-hmm. The family's been through a lot, and we'll keep you updated on the story as well. We'll be back in just a moment right here on
Classic Hits 96.7.